This episode is brought to you in part by Litvin School of Mission, Ministry, and Leadership at Wheaton College. Our graduate programs in evangelism, ministry, and leadership enrich your mind, spirit, vocation, and character to refine what's already within you. Learn more at wheaton.edu/CT.
You're listening to the Faith 2020 podcast, helping you see 2020 clearly through the lens of faith. Now here's your host, Michael Ware.
This is the Faith 2020 podcast. I'm your host, Michael Ware, and I'm excited about the guests we have for you. The intention for this podcast from day one has been to bring you historical perspective from someone who's been involved in presidential campaigns and at the intersection of presidential politics and faith, to bring you journalists and experts that have insight to share, but also to bring you those who are actually acting in this election. And we've done that already. Reverend Gabriel Salguero was a guest. He is someone who campaigns look to and listen to. There have been a number of other people. We had Senator Chris Coons on, of course, who is co-chair of the Biden campaign. Today, I'm excited because we have a special guest, my friend. And so full disclosure, I've known Josh for a decade. And so my friend and also the newly minted director of faith engagement for the Biden campaign, Josh Dixon. And so I'm not going to do a big wind up here. The conversation I have with him is really the centerpiece. What I will say is, you know, the purpose of this conversation is to give you insight into how the Biden campaign is thinking about faith. And so I asked Josh to lay that out, what their message is, how he's thinking about his work, and would turn it to you, the listener, to test that and think about what he's saying and think about your own priorities and how you're thinking about this thing. My hope is to have guests from the RNC and the Trump campaign moving forward. You know, we're just a few months out from this, from the election. And so things are going to pick up from here. Obviously, Vice President Biden's running mate is going to be chosen and announced could be any day now. That's going to obviously be a significant milestone and give us a clearer picture of what the next few months are going to look like and what the choice that we'll be facing voters. But without further ado, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to hear from Josh Dixon. This is the Faith 2020 podcast. All right, we're back. This is the Faith 2020 podcast. I am excited to introduce you to Josh Dixon. Josh began his career as a teacher on Chicago's South Side, where he served as a volunteer leader in advocacy efforts focused on youth homelessness, school funding reform, and ex-offender job training programs. After 4 years working in education, Josh received a master's in public policy from the Harvard Kennedy School, where he wrote his thesis on opportunities for Democrats to make inroads with young, faith-motivated voters, which led to the creation of the Young Democrats of America's inaugural Faith and Values Program. Following graduate school, Josh was deputy director of faith outreach at the DNC and was involved in Obama 2012 Ohio. And afterwards, Josh served in the Obama administration as the director of the Center for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships at the U.S. Department of Commerce. Josh then moved into roles with Points of Light and Teach for America, most recently serving as TFA's Senior Managing Director for Base Mobilization, where he led the development and implementation of the organization's supporter engagement strategy for TFA's national recruitment team. Josh currently lives in Denver, Colorado, where he co-leads the Colorado Obama Alumni Association and co-founded the Colorado Faithful Democrats. He's originally from Rochester, New York, so not far away from Buffalo, which, is something he could be happy about. And Josh is a graduate of the University of Michigan, where he studied political science. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Josh Dixon. Well, I am so happy to have with me Josh Dixon. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing good today, Michael. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining the Faith 2020 podcast. Would love, we have so much to get into. Would love to just open with, I know a lot about you. Would love for you to talk a bit about sort of your background, how you got into politics, and how you ended up taking on the role leading Faith Outreach for Vice President Biden's campaign for the presidency.
Absolutely, Michael. And again, thanks so much for having me. It's always good to catch up and to have a chance to chat with you. So my background, you know, goes back to my great grandparents, my dad, my aunts, and my uncle are all Moody Bible Institute graduates. My brother and I were named after Joshua and Caleb from the Bible. We went to church twice on Sundays and once on Wednesdays, and I was involved in Awana and, you know, sword drills and all that stuff, and was involved in my church youth group. And my faith has always been a cornerstone, huge part of my life ever since I was young. And my parents were really incredible role models in living their faith out through service in so much of what they do. My dad's a teacher in a low-income school in upstate New York. My mom is a realtor who works with clients from a lot of different backgrounds, including many folks from more disadvantaged backgrounds. And they're just incredible people who really modeled for me what faith in action looks like. When I got to college, I was really involved with Campus Crusade for Christ at the University of Michigan, helped lead the outreach team, the prayer team, and we had a pretty big ministry. It was about 500 people. Was also leading a Bible study, attending Bible studies, and you know, the way that I kind of oriented towards what I would do after college was very much grounded in my faith, and was really through a lot of seeking and introspection and prayer and just trying to pursue wisdom and discernment. That ended up leading me to be a teacher in a low-income school on the south side of Chicago. And as I said, my dad is a teacher, my grandma is a teacher, and I've just seen the impact they were able to have on people's lives. And I really wanted to do something that I thought would put hands and feet to my faith. And it was definitely a professional choice that I think put me in a situation where there were a lot of, I was challenged a lot in terms of just the different ways in which, you know, I saw challenges on the resource side in my school. You know, my students were incredible. Their parents were just amazing, amazing people. It was a great community to work with. And I saw the challenges they faced just because of their zip code, just because of where they were born. And I always say if their zip code had been one digit different on the end, they would have such a different set of opportunities before them. And I think that's one of the things that really compelled me when I was teaching in Chicago about what that meant for me as a Christian and what that meant for me as someone who follows Jesus. And, you know, it really pushed me to, I think, see all of the ways in which there is such a strong calling for us as Christians to work against systemic injustice, to work against the poverty and racism and other things like that that we see in the world. And it helped me see that in a different way and in a way that made things very, very real. And, you know, many of my students' parents were people of faith, and we would talk about that at times after school and other teachers. And, you know, really talking about like the calling to work to ensure that everyone has the chance to reach their God-given potential and to be a part of living out our faith in real life, the orthopraxy piece on a daily basis. And that was actually when I came across for the first time the book, The Audacity of Hope, by then Senator Barack Obama. And it was the first time when I read his chapter on faith, that was the first time that I really felt like someone summed up a lot of where the intersections of my own theology, my own beliefs on public policy and political theory in a way that just deeply resonated with me. And so I was very compelled by then Senator Obama and really started following politics a lot more at that point. At that point, I definitely did not call myself a Democrat. And it took years before I did, largely because of the environment in which I grew up. Yeah. But the values that I saw then Senator Obama, later President Obama, living by, I saw what he talked about on the 2008 campaign, which, you know, I know you and our friend Joshua and Paul and so many others were working really closely on. I saw that and that spoke to me, you know, and I'm someone who was very like that really just resonated with me more than words can say. And that really brought me into the space of saying, you know, what is my own calling and how do I want to live that out? And it was like really around that time that as I was having this formative experience, being able to partner with my kids and their communities to try to increase opportunity for them and their families, really brought me to this point of feeling like my calling was to work towards social and economic justice and to use the opportunities that I've been given to play a part in opening the doors of opportunity for other people. And that was really kind of what led me into the politics space. And so I kind of moved forward from there and worked with the Young Democrats of America a little bit, helped them start up their first ever faith and values program shortly after I was a teacher, and then got involved with the Democratic National Committee, working with Reverend Derek Harkins, and had a chance to work with you a bit, and had some good times there out on the campaign trail, and spent time in Ohio, and then had a chance to serve in the Obama administration at the Commerce Department as the director of the Center for Faith-Based Neighborhood Partnerships. And where that kind of leads me to the Biden campaign is I stayed involved in political things after I left the administration, helped co-found the Colorado Faithful Democrats in Colorado, where I now live, which is an official initiative of the Colorado Democratic Party. And, you know, I've just been very compelled by Vice President Biden's vision for our country and how rooted it is in common good values, especially as we are at this historic moral moment and this key inflection point where we are going to decide whether we bend the moral arc of the universe more towards justice or not. And I think, you know, the vice president started his campaign with a call to restore the soul of the nation. We're at this point now where we've had these prophetic words from John Lewis in his final op-ed in the New York Times talking about the need to redeem the soul of the nation. And I think that that's really what Joe Biden's vision for the country speaks to. And I think that he's really speaking to what I believe is the core religious issue of this election, which is systemic racism. And I think what we're seeing in the country bears that out. And I think in these prophetic times, you know, I can't stand on the sidelines. And so, it's an honor to be able to work towards these things. And I'm looking forward to working with many people, who are listening in right now.
Yeah. Well, so appreciate that. So much I want to talk about just sort of with your story. I think so recently the story of the role of faith in public life has been one of, self-interest, as Elizabeth Diaz reported in the New York Times tomorrow, sort of a pursuit of power for the purpose of self-interest. And I think there's an opportunity to tell a different story, that actually the story of faith in this country is one of service and one of sacrifice and one of striving for ideals that come from a source higher than ourselves. And so much of what you just laid out, you, in many ways, and I, you know, I've known you for a long time, you embody that. And so what an interesting thing now to find you and for you to find yourself running faith outreach in this moment for someone like Vice President Biden and in a campaign like what lies before us. Would love for you to just give an overview. I know you're still, well, I was going to say you're getting your feet wet still, but actually I've been following you and it seems like that happened pretty quickly. It seems like you're already running. Give folks a sense of what the Biden campaign's faith outreach looks like, and how you're thinking about the effort now that we're, you know, 3 months away from election.
Well, I really appreciate those kind words, Michael. And I just want to hit on your first point for a second. You know, I think that when I look at our calling as Christians, right? I had this Bible verse from Mark up on my wall in college. We painted it on the wall, you know, and it was, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." And I think your point is so salient right now that too many people look at politics and say, what can you do for me? I think as Christians, our litmus test is, what is this person's vision going to do for the people that Jesus calls us to be partnering with and serving alongside of and working for opportunity towards? What is this person's agenda going to do for marginalized communities and people who are oppressed and people who have been bearing the yoke of injustice? And I think that that's my litmus test for who I'm going to support, who I'm going to work for. And I think it's a really important point, because we see a lot of messaging right now that pulls us away from that. Yeah. And that really pulls us more towards us and towards, you know, our own egos and towards what we personally kind of want in order to feel like we're in some sort of place of influence or control. And I think that we're called to a much more redemptive, others-centered vision and place in the world than that as Christians. And so I think that as we are looking at this election, as I look at this election, as we look at all the things that my team is doing, we're really centering it in how are we fighting as hard as we can to ensure that everyone has the opportunity they deserve for their full inherent human dignity to be realized fully, and the chance to pursue human flourishing in every possible way. And so, you know, along those lines, what we're to your second question, what the way we're going about this is, you know, we have a pretty robust outreach strategy where we're working with many, many different people of faith from a lot of different backgrounds underneath our Believers for Biden platform. And so Believers for Biden is our national effort aimed at connecting with and partnering alongside of and mobilizing faith-motivated voters. There are three really, really big things we want to make clear to everyone. One, this campaign values and respects people of faith. Two, we are asking for the support of people of faith. We are going to be listening, and we are going to be showing that people of faith matter in this campaign. And but we're also going to ask for their support. And we're going to ask that folks consider what's at stake in this election when they make their decisions about who to vote for in November. And then third is we're going to make a very, very strong case that Vice President Biden is the candidate that best reflects the values of people of faith in his own pursuit of the common good and his own pursuit of justice in the public square. And so the way that we're doing this is starting off with listening. And we've been doing a lot of listening sessions with key leaders from many, many different backgrounds, and just opening up the floor for people to share with us the issues that matter. These aren't partisan engagements. They are just ways for us to connect and let folks know your voice matters to this campaign. Your voice matters to the coalition of people who we're building. Then we're also setting up structured groups who are giving me and Reverend Derek Harkins at the DNC, we work hand in hand, that are giving us advice on a regular basis and helping us know about things that are impacting their communities in real time and giving us recommendations and suggestions for how best to connect with people who come from a variety of different backgrounds. Third is we're doing public events. You kind of alluded to this. We've already done a handful of public events, and including with Dr. Jill Biden. We are going to continue that. And we're going to have a robust public event strategy, all virtual. So any folks who are listening in can tune into our events. And it's a great way to hear more about what we stand for. And we kicked off our first big public event with a moment of silence for the civil rights leaders, John Lewis and C.T. Vivian, who recently passed, and a moment of silence for the victims of COVID-19, and then launched into a reading from Isaiah. And I think that really speaks to what we stand for. And the fact that, you know, we want to be values-based and centered in values and really letting folks know that's our approach in this campaign. And so we're doing public roundtables around policy. We're doing issue town halls. We're also doing organizing and action events like the event we had just this past week. And we're also going to be doing, we've already started a weekly devotional. So every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, anyone who's interested can tune in. It's a nonpartisan space just to center, pray, reflect, and hear a modified message to keep us all grounded. Yeah. And so you're going to see also like a lot of engagement of public figures. You're going to see people speaking out in support of different candidates, our candidate in particular, who people who've never engaged in politics before are looking at this as not a moment to be partisan, but to be principled, because there's just so much at stake right now. And people see there being such a different vision that Vice President Biden is putting forward. And a lot of people are really wanting a change from kids in cages, from refugees being denied safe harbor, from public health being politicized, and from people having to live in fear. People who are people of color and so many other folks, because of the racism we see coming from the top. And so, you know, I think people really want right now a chance to fight for the values that are at the center of who we are as people of faith, and for me as a Christian. And people want the chance to work towards what we're called towards in Isaiah 58, right? To sweep down the walls of injustice and break the chains of oppression.
You spoke a bit to what was going to be my next question. You mentioned sort of listening sessions. Has there been anything in those listening sessions that has surprised you? And then, you know, if you just want to speak a bit more to this, and, you know, maybe related, you know, what do you think is Vice President Biden's message to the faith community broadly in this election? I just want to, you've spoken to it a bit, but want to give you an opportunity to, you know, answer the question directly.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the listening session piece, I think one of the biggest things we hear is people saying it's really good to actually be listened to. And oftentimes in campaigns and, you know, from on both sides, but, you know, on the Democratic side at times, faith voters, especially faith voters from specific constituency backgrounds, don't always have that seat at the table. And so one of the big themes we've heard is just requests for deeper inclusion and representation, as well as, like, we do continue to hear this recurring theme about people being very energized around really working collaboratively to address the systemic racism that has become so much more apparent in our country in the public square. And I think that actually leads into our big message, right? Our big message and Vice President Biden's message to faith voters is that this election is about both restoring and redeeming the soul of the nation. Mm-hmm. And we actually believe that starts by directly addressing what we think is the real religious issue of the election, which is systemic racism. And again, you know, we're seeing people marching in the streets in response to the murder of George Floyd. We're seeing major Christian leaders, publications, and so many others taking a stand, acknowledging Black Lives Matter, and putting out a call for people to step up and act for justice. And so this campaign is about that. And we want people to know that. And we want people to know that we're really trying to build an inclusive and diverse group of people who aren't just going to, you know, stop the work once the election results are in early November. But we're trying to build a coalition of people who are going to work and partner together to bring more justice in the public square and to ensure that as much as possible, people have the opportunities they deserve to succeed in this country.
Yeah, I mean, Josh, I've been, you know, in a similar seat to where you're sitting now, and just remember what remember what it was like to, you know, the faith community in America is so diverse, and so many, there's such a sweep of opinion, and all of it, you know, comes from a place of conviction. How do you, and you know, I think to the extent that you could speak to the vice president and the campaign, how do you deal with criticism from the faith community? Kind of what is your response to criticism that's come up during these listening sessions, and how do you anticipate the vice president will deal with criticism if he's elected?
I mean, that's a great question, Michael. We always start off with a posture of grace and seeking to understand and really trying to situate things in relationship so that as we move forward with people, as we move forward with leaders, with communities, we can do our best to find common ground as much as possible as we pursue the common good. And I think that's really what it is. And there, as you mentioned, the faith communities in America are incredibly diverse and come from many, many different places and have many different opinions and perspectives and experiences. And so from our vantage point, the real focus is on trying to ensure people have as much of a seat at the table as possible and trying to ensure that we're being listeners first. You know, if we're good Bible believing Christians, we will be too. From James admonishes us about that a little bit. It was always one of my favorite verses when I was in college. You know, it's like you always got to be listening, right? you have 2 ears and one mouth, right? And so we want to be listeners first, and then we want to be people who are acting in a way that is valuing where folks are coming from and seeking to find the common ground that we can. That's how we're aiming to have this campaign positioned. And that's something that we want folks to know and that we're always open to feedback and perspectives and opinions.
Yeah. Well, Josh, on this podcast, we've gone through the history of Democratic campaigns and faith outreach and have tracked the way that different campaigns have addressed the issue of abortion, especially from Kerry on. Abortion has been an issue that Vice President Biden has grappled with for much of his career. And, you know, during the primary, changed his position on Hyde and what was a pretty, you know, I think important moment during the primary. In the past, he is someone who supported Hyde, describing it in what I think is an interesting way. He suggested that just as he didn't think personal views against abortion should be imposed on women by the government, he didn't think that views in support of abortion should be imposed on taxpayers through direct federal funding of abortion. He changed his position on Hyde and gave an explanation for that. I anticipate it's going to come up again during this campaign, whether it's during the debates. Obviously, Trump has been pressing on this issue. And so what was interested, talk to us about how the vice president, how the campaign is, what your posture is on this issue of abortion and speaking to Hyde if you can as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Michael. You know, this is a complex issue that people have many views on, and it's one that we don't approach lightly. I think it's known the vice president is pro-choice. Hope it's also known that his outlook on women's health is grounded in equity and equality and is expansive. And he cares about maternal and women's health and well-being, and he's shown that throughout his career in a number of different ways. I think two good examples are the Violence Against Women Act, as well as the Affordable Care Act, and the different things that he fought for to ensure that women do have equity and equality as much as possible when it comes to their healthcare on the whole. The vice president's also pro-family and pro-mother, and really focused on making sure that families and children and parents have the health access that they need. And just again, that everyone should have the equity and equality on this issue, period, when it comes to their healthcare. And we also, you know, we believe that this is something that is on people's minds. We also believe that folks are going to be looking at a lot of things when they consider who they're going to support in November. And they're really going to be looking at the issues in a multitude of ways, and they're going to be looking at the values that candidates bring to their proposals and to what their agendas are for the country. And I think that based on that, you know, you see across the board the posture that Vice President Biden has towards women's health issues, towards racial equity, towards his Latino agenda, towards his Build Back Better plan is really grounded in that idea of fighting for justice for all and fighting for the marginalized. And so, I think this election will present two very different visions for the country. And I think that when we look at Vice President Biden's vision, it's a vision that's really focused on restoring the soul of the nation and pushing us forward in a way that is really focused on ensuring everyone has the opportunity to reach their full God-given potential.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Josh. One other thing voters might be looking at when they consider their vote is the running mate. And, you'll know better than I by the time this episode comes out. We may know who that is. But can you speak a bit to what the vice president is looking for in a running mate? And, if you're able, what religious Americans should be sort of attentive to as they see, this decision get rolled out?
Yeah, absolutely, Michael. And I think that there are two really, really big things that are important when it comes to the running mate. One is someone who shares his values and is committed to fighting for those values in the public square, in his administration, and as we all, are aiming to bring more opportunity and equality and justice to people all over this country. And then second is someone who is prepared for the job of President of the United States. Aside from that, I can't really speak to too much aside from what he has already spoken to publicly. But I think in terms of your question about how religious folks and faith-motivated folks can be thinking about this is, again, it really comes down to values, and it really comes down to what are we going to fight for and how are we going to move past this moment of division and this moment where we're seeing active efforts from the administration to oppress people. We're seeing active efforts to separate kids and families, to put kids in cages, to prevent folks from taking really, really important steps when it comes to public health. We're seeing the demonization of different groups just because of who they are, be it their skin color or their sexual orientation or more. And these attacks on the inherent human dignity of everyone are an affront to what we stand for as people of faith. And I think what folks can know is the vice president and his running mate will be running on a platform focused on ensuring that everyone has a chance to reach their full God-given potential and living in a society where their inherent human dignity is acknowledged and recognized and they're able to fully participate in society.
Josh, we're nearing the end of this thing. I do want to sort of give you an opportunity. Is there anything that we should be on the lookout for in the coming weeks and months? Sort of, do you have any milestones in your mind as you're thinking about? I mean, it's such an extraordinary thing, Josh, to come on to a campaign which is so different than working in the federal government, where you have sort of multiple objectives and a long timeline. You really have one objective and, like weeks. And so is there anything we should be on the lookout for that my listeners should be attentive to as, over the course of the next, 12, 13 weeks of this thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing to be on the lookout for is we're going to have Believers for Biden events happening on a weekly basis. We have one coming up this Friday. It's a rural Believers for Biden event with former Senator Joe Donnelly, who's Catholic and is going to be talking about that, as well as faith leaders. We're going to be having Believers for Biden events moving forward. So please be on the lookout for those. We'd love to have people attend and especially share the information so we can just get the word out more about the work we're doing. And on all those events, we provide opportunities for people to get involved afterwards. And then convention is coming up next week. And we have some really, really cool, beautiful interfaith programming that's going to be going on. We're going to be spotlighting a lot of different voices. And so be on the lookout for that. There'll be an announcement coming out about that really, really soon. Maybe by this time, the time this drops, that'll be out. But I'd say definitely tune in because it's going to be, we're really going to be speaking to a lot of things that I've been talking about today. And really speaking to, that vision for healing, restoration, redemption, and transformation when it comes to where our country goes from here.
Yeah. Hey, Josh, want you to know, buddy, praying for you. You got a lot of people who are, looking out for you and hoping you succeed, not even so much politically and in this campaign, but there are so many folks around the country who just think highly of you. I'm one of them. Appreciate you being on the show. And hey, might be appropriate to bring you back on at some point before the end of this campaign. So we'll stay in touch. But thanks so much for joining for this episode.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate your prayers. We're praying for you as well. Other folks are out there and have requests, send them our way. We think that this is a really important moment, and just grateful for the chance to share it with you today, Michael, and with everyone else who's listening in. And we'll look forward to the next time.
Thank you, Josh.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Again, this was to give you insight into the Biden campaign, how they're thinking about things, where they see the opportunities are, and what their approach is to the faith community. And I think we actually learned quite a bit from that interview, which will inform how we think about this race over the coming months. I hope that you'll listen to that interview with Josh in the context of previous episodes and conversations that we've had together. All right, we're going to be picking things up here. I mean, I think it's going to be appropriate with the conventions coming up, with running mate being announced. There's obviously so much faith news that has happened. We'll talk about all of that in the next episode. Excited to walk through these next few months with you. This is the Faith 2020 podcast. I'm your host, Michael Ware. Thanks so much for listening.